The third article of the Apostles' Creed concentrates on Our Lady. And over the centuries, it has been this article of the Creed that has occasioned the dogmatic teaching of popes, general councils, and the church at large on who is the Blessed Virgin Mary, what are her prerogatives, and what should be her place in our own spiritual lives. As we know, the article simply reads, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Notice immediately, having declared in the preceding article that we believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. In this article of our faith, we profess to believe that Jesus Christ was conceived, but conceived by a miracle of God's grace, namely, that Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was the Holy Spirit that enabled Mary to conceive her divine Son. Let's be clear in what we believe. We believe that when God became man, absolutely speaking, He might have chosen to become man in a thousand different ways. But God Himself chose to be conceived of a virgin mother. And that, not coincidentally, in order to bring out two basic truths of our faith. First, and most fundamentally, to bring out the fact that when God chose to become man, He had, of course, to be conceived. He was conceived. Conceived by a human mother, but conceived without a human father. In other words, that when God became incarnate, He made sure there be no doubt in anyone's mind that Jesus Christ, true man, did not have a human father. He did have a human mother, but not a human father. In other words, to underline, emphasize the fact that while Christ had two natures, human and divine, and because He had two natures, Christ as man, therefore, had an authentic human nature. for that human nature that he possessed did not come from a human father. That was the underlying historic reason why God made sure that when he became incarnate, the incarnation would take place, but without a human father. Moreover, when God chose to become man and was conceived, his conception was a virginal conception. How so? Because his mother did not lose her virginity in enabling him to be conceived. In other words, God worked the astounding miracle of being conceived in the womb of a virgin to bring out both the fact that as a man, Christ had no human father, but also to bring out, hear it, the sublimity of the state of virginity. Over the years, in giving retreats, I cannot tell you how important it is to stress Our Lady's virginity. It was because John wanted to make sure that he himself would be conceived of a virgin. Secondly, that God become man would live the life of a virgin. All of this is locked up in what may seem like a casual statement, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. I never thought I'd live, never in my wildest nightmare, that I would be a member of a community that's now the University of Detroit Mercy. He was the head of the Department of Theology. He is a woman. Who had been writing broadcasting publicly that Mary was not a virgin and that woman is not being removed from the university faculty. God have mercy. God have mercy. And the Archbishop of Detroit satisfies his conscience by publishing in the inner pages of the Mission Catholic 2 whole pages defending Our Lady's virginity. Great! But that Jezebel remains on the faculty. Needless to say, many Catholics, one reason that I bring out what's no mere episode, how casually Catholics can be professing their faith. But it doesn't cost them anything. Here, Mary's virginity. Now the reason, of course, is because God from all eternity, having decided to become man, wanted to make absolutely sure, having no doubt in anyone's mind, that the child that Mary conceived and gave birth to was the Son of the Living God, who had no human father. In other words, he had a divine father, the first person of the Holy Trinity. The Church concentrates on the third article of the Apostles' Creed as the focus of all her teaching on who Mary is and what are her extraordinary prerogatives under God. We believe, because Mary was destined to become the mother of the Most High God, from the first moment of her existence, and therefore from the moment of her conception, she was conceived without sin. The moment we say that Mary was conceived without sin, we mean positively that Mary was conceived in the friendship and therefore in the grace of God. Unlike the rest of us who are conceived, as our faith tells us, in sin. Oh, what an examination of conscience so many Catholics need to make, because of the widespread, what a safe statement, widespread confusion about the most elementary articles of our faith. And Detroit people tell me they're now attending baptisms. It was the priest, before he performs the baptism, announces to the people, "I want to make sure that none of you still has that strange idea that baptism removes original sin. Forget it." My God! That is undiluted, unadulterated, shall I say, Lutheran Protestantism. You don't live in a nation that has been dominated by Protestant political thought for centuries. You just don't, without becoming Protestantized. We Catholics, we better look at our faith, make sure that our faith is honest to God Catholic. We better believe that That baptism removes original sin. Otherwise, a question can arise whether that priest who baptizes, baptizes validly. Or no, another priest. Again, in the diocesan Catholic paper, somebody asks him, what formula should a priest use when he baptizes? And he suggests there are various formulas that a priest can use. For example, the priest can say, I baptize you in the name of the Creator and of the Redeemer and of the Sanctifier. I have classes in Ann Arbor on Sundays. Somebody showed me that paper. And the program, the classes are always televised. Made sure I was in full view of the camera. Someone should tell this priest he is dead wrong. Somebody got to the priest the next week. He says, I was dead wrong. Thanks. There is such widespread confusion on the most elementary articles of our faith here on Our Lady, conceived without sin, meaning she was conceived in the grace of God. And therefore, Our Lady did not have what all of us so obviously have, a fallen, sinking human nature. We all have concupiscence. And I need concupiscence. Our nature is out of control. We are all mortal. Why? Because we're all conceived and born in sin. We all have to suffer. Why? Because we are conceived in sin. Mariology, as we call it, the science of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is one aspect of theology that is growing by leaps and bounds, especially in the last century plus. Pope Pius IX defining Mary's Immaculate Conception. Pope Pius XII defining Mary's bodily assumption into heaven. And now the present Holy Father is being urged to define Mary's mediation of all grace. If there is anything that the world today needs, is the Blessed Virgin Mary as the model for women to follow. She was no feminist. We believe that Our Lady never sinned. We believe that Our Lady need not have died. It is commonly held she died like her divine son because she chose to. Now that is why over the years I've been recommending that every Catholic at least at night, better both at night when going to bed and first thing in the morning, make an act of acceptance of death. There will be a last morning when you're going to get up. There'll be a last night when we're going to go to sleep. Except we won't wake up. The real world, comma, the real world is the world beyond space and time. And this is where Our Lady is such a precious pattern for us to follow. What are the virtues especially that we ought to imitate in the life of the Blessed Virgin? Of course, her charity. Of course, her patience. Of course, your humility. Well, there are two virtues. And once again, I could tick off the names of a half a dozen professedly Catholic theologians that don't agree. That's their problem. Mary, unlike Jesus, had the virtues of faith and hope. And do we ever need those two virtues? The virtue of faith in believing everything that Christ revealed. It is true. Why? Because Christ said so. That is why it is true. Again, Christ did not have, he could not have had, the virtue of hope. Why not? Because being the living Son of God in human form, he saw the face of God. He did not have to hope to attain the beatific vision. He experienced it. But we, unlike Christ, but like Mary, we are to have both faith and hope and grow in these two virtues and hear it. These two virtues are to grow in us. In other words, there is such a thing as having faith, which we received when we were baptized. Same thing with hope. Well, let me tell you, never in the history of Christianity has our faith, or has the faith of believing Christians, been more put to the test than today. And the same with hope. No wonder, in one written source after another, there are people who are so discouraged, what chance, they tell you, does the church have looking forward to the end of times, the end of the world? I do not believe, I'm absolutely sure, that what people call the end of the world is still centuries, centuries away. Sure, our present 20th century is the most homicidal in the history of mankind. Sure, in this century, we've had more apostasies from the priesthood, hear it, than ever before since the founding of Christianity. We've had more breakdowns of religious orders, our own beloved Society of Jesus, over 15,000 that we've lost since the Second Vatican Council. And this year, as you know, Holy Father is sponsoring the Bishop's Synod exclusively on religious life. Believe me, somebody had better do something to save religious life in countries like our own. But so far from going into protective custody or bemoaning our fate and weeping over our lot, and I couldn't think of a better context to share this with you than in reflecting on Our Lady. If anyone had reason to be discouraged, and indeed even despair, it was she. For 2,000 years, the chosen people, what a title, the chosen people have been waiting for the Messiah. He came. So what happened? He was born in a stable. Did not even have room for him in Bethlehem. And with the then reigning King of the Jews under the Roman authority, heard about it? He tried to kill what he was told was the young Messiah. Do you know why Jesus lived a hidden life for 30 years? Do you know why? He had to. He had to. They would have killed him long before he would begin his public ministry. And beloved fellow Nazarenes, remember? He gets up in their synagogue and tells them, I'm sure he smiled when he said it, my dear fellow Nazarenes, I've just read you the prophecy in Isaiah about the Messiah. Well, I thought I'd tell this to you. This prophecy has been fulfilled before your eyes. My friends, I am the Messiah. You are what? I'm the Messiah. They picked him up, hoisted him on their shoulders, and were going to throw him off the top of the cliff on which Nazareth had been built. He survived 3 years in his public ministry. I want to be as clear as I can. To believe in Jesus Christ, to profess your faith in Him, to be an honest to God Roman Catholic, you're going to pay for it. And I mean, you're going to pay for it by the bishop that Rome told me to, well, bring certain things to his attention going on in his diocese. We went through one winding room after another. Finally, I didn't even know there were such secret places.